Okay, thank you very much. We're now going to turn to Miroslav Lajčák, Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign and European Affairs Minister for Slovakia, and one of the clutch, I should say, small clutch, including Mr. Bildt in the front row, of people, foreign ministers who really know this region well. Of course, you are High Representative in Bosnia-Herzegovina, helped oversee the referendum on independence for Montenegro, among other jobs in the Balkans. So how does it look from your point of view, knowing this region well, but also knowing what your colleagues are saying and thinking in the councils of Europe?
Well, thank you, and I think it's a good way to start our discussion about the enlargement process here in the Balkans by comparing what is the same and what's different with regard to the process a couple of years back in my part of the world, in Central Europe. And there are similarities, there are differences. So what has not changed? What has not changed is that EU enlargement is still probably the most successful EU policy, and it will not be completed without the whole of the Balkans joining the European Union. Second, and that's probably the most important, it's a political process. It's about the will to join the community of values, which the European Union is, and it's about the strength and readiness to undertake all the necessary reforms to achieve that. Sometimes we look at this process, and I must say from both sides, as too technocratic. It's about benchmarks. It's about these or that technical criteria. Let's not forget that it's really a political, profound political process. It's about transforming the societies. It's about building European Union in your countries. What has not changed is that homework must be done at home. European Union is not forcing anyone to do anything. European Union is here to help you to achieve your goal. And what has not changed is that of course, the membership in the European Union is attractive and relevant because it makes your voice heard. It gives you a political weight which far exceeds your geographical or geopolitical location. It gives you a place at the table and not on the menu. It's no longer about you without you. And of course, it helps you to build a modern state and modern society. What is different? Well, the enthusiasm is missing, and I would again say on both sides. In our case, in case of Central European countries, the EU membership was the uncontested top priority of all the priorities. And everything we did, every step we made, every decision we took was measured by meeting or by achieving this top priority. And I'm not sure whether or to what extent this is the case now, here and now. What's different? European Union is different, of course. After the Lisbon Treaty, after the financial crisis, after the Ukrainian crisis, European Union is changing. It's becoming more complex, and therefore also the accession criteria are becoming more complex. And this is not the reason to complain. This is a challenge to meet. And also the geopolitical context is different, because the good thing about this region is that the strategic choices have been made, basically, with one or two exceptions. But we do not face these big strategic dilemmas when we speak about the Balkans. We know where the region is and where it wants to go. So, and logically, the attention of the international community has shifted to other regions, mostly to the East and to the Middle East. What are the remaining challenges? I still see some bits of a vicious circle. If you get less attention from the European Union and from Brussels, from the capitals, you start losing your firm belief into the tangibility of your membership. That leads to less effort, and that leads to less progress in the integration process. So the fact is that the membership perspective must be visible, must be viable, must be tangible. Second, yes, we know there is no enlargement fatigue, but we also know that there is no enlargement enthusiasm in the European Union. There is also contrast between strong engagement and commitment in some countries of the region and stagnation in other parts of the very same region. There is sometimes gap between the verbal commitments, written documents, and the reality and the actions on the ground. And this top priority, which is formally there, is sometimes being marginalized or disappears in the multitude of other priorities and of daily business. So there must be no difference between daily business and this strategic goal. It must be the same. What needs to be done? First, the constant approximation, not only to the acquis, but to EU values, to the European Union mentality, policies, and yes, to the EU statements. And this process must be locally owned. Second, my recommendations to the countries which are part of the process, make yourself relevant and visible. Be positively assertive by meeting the criteria, by making reforms, by being active, by being engaged. And there are positive examples that it is possible, and the moment you do it, it is noticed by the European Union and you get rewarded. Regatta principle was something that worked very well in our case. First, it gave us the possibility to compare where we stand with regard to our neighbors. And second, which is equally important, it was clear that the set of the rules is the same for each and every country in the process. Here, the level of progress is slightly different, but sometimes it also looks like there are specific sets of rules for different countries. So we cannot push decentralization in one country and centralization in another country, and both in the name of European integration. So it's really important that the rules are clear and similar to everybody. And my final point is the importance of regional cooperation. I'm pleased to see huge progress that has been achieved. It's incredible when we look just 5 years ago, let alone 10 years ago. But I would like to encourage all these countries in the region of the Western Balkans to engage even more in regional cooperation, because the best way to prove that you fit into the European family is to demonstrate that you are able to communicate and cooperate with your immediate neighbours.
Very much, but just tell me, when you're with your colleagues in Brussels or meeting elsewhere, is it hard to keep the Balkans on the agenda, or do people go, well, I don't want to talk about that, it's like Ukraine or the Middle East, or like, and you go, no, but this is important, can you do it?
It's not hard to keep on the agenda. The good thing is that there is this understanding that the region is in a positive trajectory.
Yes.
And of course, there are so many hotspots that steal our attention now and then. But we must not forget that we have to keep the governments and the populations, the citizens of the countries of the Western Balkans, positively motivated. That means we do need to pay adequate attention to this process. They have to believe that what they are doing makes sense and is within reach, as I said, tangible. That's extremely important.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Okay, well, over to you, Mr. Dačić, former Prime Minister, now first Deputy Prime Minister and, of course, Minister of Foreign Affairs of Serbia. How does it look from Belgrade?